Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yuggera, Turrbal and Yugapu peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Kombamiri, Nunak or Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service, and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Last week, the 28th of September, today at 9:30, halfway through the show, I'm able to pick up David Page to talk about the Corroboree event, a massive First Nations cultural festival, arts and cultural festival down in Sydney. David Page is going to talk to me about it because he's heavily involved. So he's unable to join me until about 9:30. So we'll get young David Page, little Davy Page, Jamie would say, because he was recorded at 14 or 12 or something and had a single on vinyl, and he was known as little Davy Page. But David's going to join me today. Of a Brisbane family, quite an accomplished man with his work in First Nations arts and things. Fantastic. But last week, 28th of September, was the 30th anniversary of a 16-year-old boy by the name of John Pat. 30 years ago, he died in custody. 16. He was quite inebriated. At the time, he was in the vicinity of the hotel where he saw a number of off-duty local police in a scuffle with a local lad, and he's gone over to intervene, and he's ended up getting smashed in the face and locked up as well. He was, witnesses said that they saw John fall backwards, striking his head heavily on the roadway, then kicked in the head and face while being dragged to a police van. Witnesses said they saw John, along with other Aboriginal prisoners in the van, being punched to the ground on arrival at the town's police station. He's taken inside to the lockup, found dead an hour later. An autopsy revealed a fractured skull, hemorrhage and swelling, as well as bruising and a tearing of the brain, two broken ribs and a torn aorta. The coroner's inquest was held the next month, taking evidence from 70 witnesses over 21 days. The officers denied they'd used excessive force. What else could cause such serious injuries? Excessive force only. In April 84, this was in 83, this incident, some 6 months later, in April 84, four police officers and one police aide faced a trial for manslaughter. All maintained their innocence. After one witness admitted he'd not seen the attack, but had heard it, the accused were eventually found not guilty and reimbursed legal costs by the state government. They were also acquitted under internal disciplinary proceedings. As you can imagine, well, it says a proposal to increase the powers of the state ombudsman was blocked, although a few administrative reforms were introduced that aimed to lessen tensions between police and Aboriginal citizens. The case was instrumental in initiating the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Death in Custody. And to this day, his family are angry. There's never been an official government apology. Well, last week, there was an official government apology. 30 years later. Yeah, as some say, well, better late than never, eh? But how would you be? A 16-year-old boy. Whole life ahead of him. Just happened to be black and drunk. And that allows for police to use excessive force. Now, doesn't this ring a bell with in relation to the Murrunji Doomadgee case? Much more recent than 30 years ago. Very similar situation, very similar outcomes. But for the family to wait 30 years for an apology is outrageous. Outrageous. And it was thanks to a First Nations parliamentarian over there in Perth, Ben Wyatt, a Labor MP, who moved that the apology be put in Parliament. If we never had our own blackfellow representatives in these political parties, this probably wouldn't have happened. It's just outrageous that this can continue on. And Murrunji's not the end of it. I mean, there's been a number of deaths since. The Royal Commission into Black Deaths in Custody, how long did that run for? How much did that cost? Tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars? And the 90% of the recommendations just gather dust, 95% of them. Not good at all. So it's quite sad when you get reminded of these sorts of things that are still an everyday occurrence. The everyday occurrence is the excessive force used by police. It's still happening right across the country where First Nations people and police engage. It's hardly engagement, is it? But then again, it could be. It's just outrageous. It's criminal, and the police are allowed to get away with it. Now, there are some good police, but they are a minority. They are a minority. That sick culture in the police force is still there. It's been there for a long, long time. It'll stay there for a long, long time. Here's a song by Archie Roach. Quite a long one. It's called Manyana. And it's about the circumstances of a young man, not young John Pat, the 16-year-old, that was... Can you imagine those injuries? Those injuries. That does ring a bell with the Murrunji case, doesn't it? Because Murrunji's injuries were just horrific. Some people describe those injuries, some expert witnesses describe those injuries as being something that you would expect to see after a car crash or a plane crash. For this young fella, fractured skull, hemorrhage and swelling, as well as bruising and tearing of the brain, two broken ribs and a torn aorta. And they pleaded not guilty to using excessive force and got away with it. What? What determines excessive force? Who? By gee. And this is what you call police being tried by their peers, I suppose. Can bet your boots it was all rednecks on that jury panel. Very sad, very sad. Let's hope none of us have to experience that with our own families. My guest now, joining me via phone, live from Sydney, is Mr. David Page. David, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good, Tiger. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, brother, and it's great that you're able to give us a bit of your time to talk to us about that magnificent event. By the look of things, the money that's being spent and the days that it runs for, it's going to be big, bigger than Ben Hur, mate. I'm talking about Corroboree.
Corroboree Festival.
Corroboree Festival. Wow.
Yeah, it just sprung up out of nowhere.
By gee, who would have expected in these tight economic times, who would have expected a government to come in and throw the money? And it's a fair amount of money. It's a reasonable amount of money.
There's not that much mulu happening with it. We're on a really tight budget, but we want it to happen because there's not an Indigenous representation in terms of a festival in Sydney, a major city like Sydney. So we're just kicking it off this year, and then hopefully, I think it'll get bigger and better. So I'm programming the club, which is called the Corroboree Club. So that's a little sort of venue you know, it's where the party's at the heart of the Corroboree Festival Central. So it should be a good event.
Now, it's taking up, like, there's a range of things here, and there's a range of art, like it's performing arts, it's visual art, there's culture, there's a whole range of things. Tell us.
There's Blackfellow Films, they've got a cinema. It's down at Pier 2 and 3, which is across away from Bangarra Dance Theatre. And it's put on by Destination New South Wales and Bangarra. And there's going to be a film presentation, a cinema. So they're going to, you know, show documentaries, and they're having Warwick Thornton's first film for a long time. That's going to kick it off on the Saturday the 15th. Hang on, just looking at my calendar here. Look, I've got to make sure that it's all happening at the right times. Yeah, that's on the Saturday the 16th, which is a Blackfellow screening of Warwick Thornton's new film, The Dark Side. And on that night, I've got the club downstairs, which will feature Frank Yammer. So we sort of, you know, have a film showing, and then people can come downstairs and stick around for the entertainment at the club. They've got Market Day. They've got kids stuff. They've got everything. It's going to be a really, really sort of hub central location in Sydney for people to come down and experience, you know, these whole new things that are happening.
The Warwick Thornton film, it's about true ghost stories, I believe.
It is.
Yeah?
It is. It's a selection of people from all around Australia, and they tell the little ghost yarns.
All right.
So, you know.
Something common in every black household. There's always a ghost yarn. Oh, tell us another one of those stories, Pop, you know. Yeah.
No, eh? A real winky one, but still want to listen to them.
Oh, yeah.
That'd keep the kids quiet anyway, when the dad's saying, go on, you fellas. Go on, that red eye out there.
Yeah. That gunjo get ya.
That gunjo one there, mugai there, coming
mugai
for
there.
You.
Yeah.
But look, this festival's going to be... Look, I don't have anything much in front of me at the moment, just on the computer. I'm very not organised. What I know about is the Corroboree Club, and it's going to be... I'm going to feature some, you know, Marcus Kalwa and... Stiff Gins, Dave Dow, Jess Beck, Casey Donovan, and our old friend Archie Roach is going to perform there as well.
All right.
So it's like a little club, Tiger, you know, like a little real relaxed sort of atmosphere club.
There's a whisper that you're making a special appearance.
Well, I'm hosting it every night.
Yeah, but somebody was talking about something like, what was that performance of yours in drag?
No, I'm not
there's
doing
a whisper,
drag.
There's a whisper.
Everyone thinks I'm doing drag.
Yeah, there's a whisper that there's a drag.
I'm programming it's called The Bitch is Black.
All right.
And it's gonna feature some indigenous drag queens.
All right.
But they're going to do real proper way, like do retro, like do old school and do, you know, sort of black divas
right.
of the past,
all
and they're going to feature that.
So well, you played the role.
And everyone's probably thinking, oh, yeah, he'll get up there
exactly.
and do something too.
Yeah.
No. I hung my dress up a long time ago.
But you
now.
Did so well. That was amazing, that performance of yours at Turner. I mean, that's something I'll never forget. It's just amazing.
It was a good time. It was a good time in my life in theatre. I enjoyed that. I went to England as well with that.
Did you really?
Yeah, I toured 7 weeks around England.
Oh, my God.
And all them white fellas over there were like, who this fella? Where's this fella from? They didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
But after they saw it, they were like, okay. Because it was all word of mouth. So I'd go into one little town, little village in England, like Salisbury or somewhere like that, and there'd be like 150 show up, curious. And then next night it'd be 300, you know, because it was just word of mouth. But it was a great tour. It was a really good learning experience for me.
So what did you tour under the name, like the show itself? What was it called?
Page 8.
That was Page 8. You took Page 8.
Yeah, that was Page 8. Yeah. The Stevens did, but Bangarra went on tour just recently, and all the theatres, they thought he was me, because, you know, we're getting older, we start to look like each other. You know, the hair goes bald and then the glasses. So we start looking, I even look like my sisters sometimes. But anyway, they thought he was me. them theatre fellas, and they go, hey, when you doing your show again?
Yeah.
And he come back, he reckon, David, you got to do that show again. I said, well, come on then. We'll put it on.
Oh, good one, eh?
Tour it again.
All right.
But, yeah, so the Crabby Club starts on, well, it opens on Friday, November the 15th, and it'll go for a week to the 24th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there is, I was reading a press release, so they had a great council of elders to advise and stuff.
Yeah.
On this. What do you know about that?
They got councillors. Hetty Perkins is the artistic director.
Mm.
So she brought in the councillors to, you know, look, they had a big launch down here at Macquarie's Chair last week. And, you know, they're sort of going to, if you go on the website, Sydney Corroboree, and you'll see all the events that are happening. But, yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be fantastic.
So for you to be running a venue, the Corroboree Club.
Yeah.
A bit of a different role.
Well, I thought I'd, you know, take on a, sort of an organiser. I don't know. I thought, you know, maybe start directing, stop performing and, you know.
Oh, it's good.
Point the way.
I
enjoy doing that. I mean, they asked me, and I thought, oh, I don't have time because I'm writing music for Bangarra's new work as well. And that's another thing that Bangarra will be doing during the festival is this new work called Dance Clan, and that's going to be down at the Wharf. And it's four female dancers of Bangarra, and they're choreographing four new works, and that's going to be part of the festival.
All right.
The Corroboree Festival. So I'm in the studio now. That's why I didn't know where I was when you rang. I reckon, hey, look out. I forgot about this. Terrible, eh? But I've been here all morning writing this music for this Dance Clan.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, I like to wear different hats, I think.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's...
you know, it's good to sort of, you know, mix it up a bit.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, jump on stage.
So what else is happening with the club? You've got performers like Archie Roach and...
Yeah, Frank Yammer. I've got some emerging artists as well. I've got Stephen Oliver. He's coming down.
Yeah, they're going to
He's going to come down and do...
they're going to let him in town down there. I did not.
They're going to let him in. Bar's settled now. He's allowed back in here now.
Oh, what an amazing young man that fella is.
He is. So he's going to come and do a spot, and Kirk Page and... who else is there? Oh, Stiff Gins. Mm. They're going to do some stuff.
Yeah. Good to see Frank Yammer down there.
Yeah. Well, see, I thought with Warwick coming in on the first night for the film, and then, you know, I'll keep it local with, you know, Frank Yammer from Central as well. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Because, you know, Warwick's from Central, from Alice Springs, and Frank's from Alice Springs, so he'll perform after that. So I thought that would keep the flavour happening. And, look, he's fantastic.
He is.
He's fantastic. I just love him.
And Warwick Thornton, I mean, Samson and Delilah, wasn't that an amazing film?
Oh, it's crazy. It was, you know, it was very, very haunting and strong.
Sounds good.
Simple stories, though.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They're simple blackfellow stories, and just tell that story straight to the point. You know, no bells and whistles. He did that on a shoestring too.
Exactly.
And did it himself, basically.
Yeah, so it's good to see him with another release.
Yeah, he's got some really good stories. I'm actually in this one. He got me to tell one of the stories.
All right.
Yeah, from Bedezet.
Yeah.
A story that, you know, that old woman, that old grey-haired woman used to come and steal her children back in the day. So he got me to. I don't know if I made the cut though.
All right.
I might be on the floor. I haven't heard anything.
All right.
Now, how's it going up there in Brizzy?
Oh yes, she's still. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Even with a change of government here. Now there's a change of government at the federal level in Canberra. But we've been seeing these governments come and go. You know, we're still here. We're still around. We're still here.
But you know, they don't change.
They don't change.
They don't change. We're changing, but they're not changing.
They don't change.
Just doing the same thing. I just I'm bored of them fellas.
Oh yes, aren't we all? Aren't we all? Tell us about Bangarra, your role there.
Well, I'm the resident composer. Mm-hmm. I've been working here for, oh God, how long have I been with Bangarra? 25 years now.
All right.
So, you know, music composer and music producer, and pretty much been pumping out a production every year for the last 25 years. So it's been pretty good.
And you have access to a studio that's in-house?
I have
right?
a studio that's next door to the dance studios.
Okay.
So Stephen, when they create a new work and develop a new production for Bangarra, he will sit down and have, you know, creative meetings, me and my brother, and I'll write music and I'll take it in to the studio and he'll either like it or he'll hate it.
Yeah.
And he'll tell me too. And if he doesn't like it, and then, you know, so it's like a little production company, little production
is that your
factory.
Own, is that your own business, your own studio?
Look, I did start out, I did wanted to go on my own, but it's just really hard to run a recording studio. It's not a music industry. I mean, unless you write a great commercial song, pop song, for a great artist and sell millions, then you're on your way. But I think, you know, we keep our integrity with Bangarra. We, you know, it's about cultural awareness. It's about educating not just white fellows, but our own mob about, you know, stories that's ancient and issues, dealing with issues and political issues about today. So we keep that storytelling integrity going, and it's not a commercial sort of making business. You know, it's government funded. So it's we just keep that wheel turning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Are there other First Nations composers and people like yourself around that you work with or that you know? I mean, it's a...
Look, I'm a bit naive about who else is doing stuff the same as me.
Well, if they were around, you'd know about them, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
in the industry?
I would. But what I want to do, I'd love to sort of open the doors to this studio and hold some workshops because I think... to encourage, and that's what we do. I mean, we're not going to be around forever, and we're getting old now. We've become elders, and we have to pass down, you know, our knowledge of what we know. And I think I would love to start up a workshops or bring in young composers and show them what I do here. And yeah, be great for that to carry on and pass it on so it can continue.
Oh yeah, succession planning. I think the white collar term, eh? Or what?
What is it called?
Succession planning.
What do we call it?
Yeah.
Pass it down.
Doing our thing. Yeah, pass
doing
it on.
Doing our thing. No, but look, it's an important thing to do, and I want to pursue that very soon, I think. Very soon.
Let's go back a bit to, your mob, your country. Who's your mob? Where's your country?
My mob, my father is Mulinjali man from Badesert, from the, you know, well, it's part of the Bundjalung Nation. That's a clan that's a Yugambi dialect. And my mother is Noonuccal from Stradbroke Island. But she grew up, though she was born over there, but she grew up in Brisbane, the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then they met down at the pineapple cannery years ago. And because his mother was Annie Fogarty from Bedesert, and his father was Walter Page. And Walter Page come down from Mount Isa, and then he met Granny Polo in Bedesert. But then he left her. He had kids and then he left her. But she had all them kids on her own, see, and she fought that welfare back then. She fought, you know, Aboriginal affairs, native titles. She, what do you call it?
Which one?
The Aboriginal affairs, eh?
Oh, yeah. The AA and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
she fought all them fellas.
To keep her kids.
And she'd keep her kids.
All right.
She used to run from the welfare.
Hmm.
I know. But yeah, they say he was brought up there. Mum was on Stradbroke Island. They met in Brisbane, and then they had 12 kids.
Native affairs, hey? I think it would have been those days.
Native affairs.
That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Because yes.
I remember when we were kids, because Mum had 12 kids, and when Dad was, you know, when he used to muck up, play around, she'd kick him out. and then she'd be on
black
her own.
Women did, as all good black women did.
Yeah, well, you know, they never took no good from anybody.
That's right.
They'd, you know, they'd tell her how it was, and she, and I remember the welfare used to chase Mum, but she'd trick them. She'd go and stay at all different places, her sisters and her cousins,
yeah,
with us kids, because we're always. I remember going to different houses.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but yeah, we just that was our upbringing. But we grew up in Markovat East.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And she lived in Bedeza for a while. Dad took her to Bedeza for their honeymoon, and then she said she had to get out of that place. She said it took her 10 years to get out of there. And she got a house commission house in Markovat East, and we grew up there.
Right.
Yeah.
When did you get the urge or realise that art, being an artist, the arts was for you? Quite young age?
I think when we were young, eh? When we were young, because we were always around, you know, big mob, always having parties and celebrating funerals and weddings. You know, there was always music. There was always someone on a guitar or someone on a ukulele or someone on a leaf or, I don't know, there was always entertainment.
And spoons.
Spoons, yeah. Oh, yeah, the spoons. And we'd get up and, you know, we'll as kids, we'll, and, you know, you remember that. We used to get up and perform in the backyard or on the veranda or somewhere on the river. And then I just always was interested in music. I just wanted to do it. And
do you play an instrument, or you only want to be a producer?
I play. I play. I write with piano and guitar, and and I've got a huge computer system here that, you know, basically has all the
creates it all for you.
All the programs you want to create. You just got it's, you know, it's all mathematics. It's all scientific and technical now. But, you know, I'll get my head around it and learn it. But I used to play in bands when I went down to Adelaide and studied music. I went to the Adelaide University for the Centre for Aboriginal Studies and Music back in the 80s.
Chasm.
That's where I learnt to the nuts and bolts of it.
Well, that's where the bands love the bands now, like, who have we got? You've got Coloured Stone.
Well, Us Mob come out of there, No Fixed Address.
That's right, yeah. The Pigrams, you know, that they were Cuckles back in those days.
The Cuckles, yeah. Well, they were just leaving as I started studying.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I got to meet all them fellas.
Bunner Laurie with his band there, and Bunner's still going around. Yeah, Colour Stone. Yeah.
I know, he's still going, that fella?
Yeah, still going around.
I know, it's good, isn't it?
And really Us Mob and No Fixed Address are doing a re-release of the film Wrong Side of the Road.
I saw that.
A remix of the album and remastering of the album or something.
Fantastic!
Yeah, that's good.
They got to go back to the source. That's where it all started.
Well, they were a band before their time, both of them, I think, but particularly Us Mob with their rock and roll. You know, they were a band before their times. Yeah,
you know, we're bands now. I mean, there's some there, but on that sort of scale, they were just raw and they were telling it like it is. It's fantastic.
When did you first get to Sydney?
They're coming back. People get to refresh their memories and young kids can see, you know, can hear what was happening back then.
Well, I was reading an email from one of the mob down there. They're saying some of the sons of the, or some of the kids, the next generation of the old fellas in the bands are the support act.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw that next generation. They're all jumped on. It's like even with Chasm. Centre for Aboriginal Studies and Music, you know, all the next generation are studying the music and they're, you know, following the footsteps of their parents and their grandparents.
What are the politics involved in the arts? There's a bit of politics involved?
Oh, look, I don't usually talk politics. It's always about money, you know, because to keep Bangarra going, it's expensive. And like I said, we're non-profitable, but we, you know, make sure that we employ these dancers. And like I said, I want to move on and get more money to employ younger composers to come in and open these gates to the arts for these people to come in and work in this field. We don't get the money that we deserve.
That you should get to run operation like that. That's right.
And it's really scary that, you know, this new government, because, you know, it's about who's there. It's who takes these positions, you know, and whole Abbott, he's starting to fire everybody now. So it's like, you know, the rich get richer and the poor just
keep
stay
on
the same.
Battling. Keep on battling.
Yeah, keep on battling. So look, we're gonna battle and we've always battled with Bangarra. We've always, you know, pushed it a little bit further. But Stephen, my brother, he's the main player there. You know, he's the one that goes. He goes to all the meetings, and he'll say, "Well, this is it." But keep to the integrity and keep to the, you know, the respect of what we do.
When did you first get to Sydney?
I got here. Stephen and Russell were here before me. I was in Adelaide studying, and then Stephen was with the Sydney Dance Company. He was dancing with them, but he always had in his mind he wanted to direct. And Russell was dancing as well. And I was in Adelaide, and he'd come to Adelaide and he'd say, you know, come to Sydney, come, let's start, the three of us can start something. But I would always, you know, I'd say, no, I can't, I'm not ready, I haven't finished my studies, I want to finish what I started. And so when I did finish, I came to Sydney in 88.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was 88, this was the March,
March.
Yeah, because we went to the March. But that's why I come to Sydney, to go to the march
right,
and stayed here.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It wasn't because my brother wanted me to come here. But, look, I did like it. I wasn't into the big cities, you know. Adelaide was a bit like a big country town for me.
Yes.
And, you know, it was the music scene down there was fantastic. And, but when I came here, that's when Bangarra started.
All right.
Stephen's idea. He wanted to start the company, but it was already developed with what's her name, Cheryl Stone and Carol Johnson, and they took the ex graduates from Aboriginal Dance Theatre in Glebe, and pretty much, you know, started a little company with Bangarra, and there was only like five dancers.
So did you enrol with AIDT or did you go straight to
Bangarra? No, I got a job there. I got a job there working as – I was in archives. I used to document all the, you know, the dance videos and the music. So I had a little library at the back there by myself. And there was an old fella there. Oh, he passed away now. Bless him. Old Eugene Casey. He was from New York. African-American
I remember him, yes.
And he played piano, and he used to play piano for all the dance classes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that computer set up at the back, the music stuff. And I was going, what's that? He said, oh, this is Cubase, this is how you work it. And he showed me, because when I was working at Chasm, they had it there, but us fellas were the black fellas in the band. We said, we don't want to learn that computer stuff. That's cheating.
Get the instruments properly.
We wanted the live thing, you know, play live. But little old me now, I end up learning that stuff, because it was so quick for dance, you know, to write stuff, and you can have the music straight away. It was all samples and stuff. So that fella, he taught me all that. And then I just continued and taught myself and got, you know, better programs. And Stephen came over and he started choreographing, and Russell was dancing. That's when it started then.
Right.
And Russell was dancing, and Stephen said, Collis, you should write some music, like write something for dance. So I wrote one piece, and it was at the end of year show at AIDT, Aboriginal Dance Theatre. And that's when I got the buzz then. That's when I knew.
Uh-huh.
My father said, you got the drum? You know what you're doing now? I said, yes, I know what I'm doing. This is what I got to do. And then the three of us started.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's been going, and it's been going strong.
It's been going ever since.
Yes.
You know.
And uphill and downhill, there's uncertainty along the way with funding.
You've had
to find a new home and stuff, I mean.
Well, this is it. You know, the other thing was, it was being away from home, being away from family. And that's, you know, that's a big call.
Mm.
I don't know. Look, we could come home. I want to come home. I said that to Stephen. I said, well, let's just go back to Brisbane. I said, it must be time now. I have to go home. Because I go home because my mum's not well, so I go home a lot.
Uh-huh.
She's in Georgina Hostel there.
Aged care.
Yeah, darling. Yeah. She's got Alzheimer's.
Yep.
So, terrible disease.
My dear mother was spent a bit of time there herself, and they
I remember.
Keep an eye on the gates. I had to keep an eye on the gates because mum didn't like it there, as you could imagine. And she,
well, the
she
thing is, you know, they're there. They, you know, people think they're gone, but they're there.
Yes, they're
there.
They know. That's right.
They
oh,
might
yes.
lose their memory, yeah. but because I went and saw her the other weekend,
uh-huh.
and she seen me, and since I walked in, that face just lit up.
Light up, yeah, yeah.
And then she said, "You want to get me out of here?"
Oh yeah.
I said, "I can't, darling.
Yeah, yep.
I'm coming with you, she reckon."
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's being away from home that's a killer.
Mm, for sure.
But we've coped over the years.
The future of arts for us, our mob. There's good talent, young ones coming through.
Look, there's more of us now. There's so much young talent coming out. There's more opportunity. There's more. I think there is. There's, you know.
Is there enough festivals?
Social networking. There's, you know, there's these shows like X Factor, and I mean, there's blackfellas are putting themselves out there now.
Well, Australia's got talent, wasn't it?
You know,
John Brady, John Brady's Miss Australian Idol, something there.
You know, Casey Donovan and Jess, you know, Jessica Marboy.
Just recently, there's a Brisbane woman who's a partner of John Brady, old Johnny Brady's son. So he's old John Brady's grandson. John's
Troy and Trevlin.
Yeah,
I saw that. That was amazing.
Hey, wasn't that amazing?
It was amazing. They put that little boy on there, and then
amazing.
The mother got up and said, because I remember, they used to play around everywhere.
Yes, exactly.
They were always performing. They still are.
And now to see a kid fantastic. Of that age come through and sing so confidently, and that old style music too. He's not rap and stuff or any of that young fella music, you know. It's that old style music he's singing.
No, it's great.
Oh, yeah, really.
But you know, I think there's this way, there's always the wave's always been there, and there's more of us mob riding that wave now.
Yeah.
Of the arts, you know, we can be selective, and we can say what is, you know, really good, what's good, and what's not good. You know, I think there's some talent out there that need that support and need to be managed and need to be stylized and to given that chance. I think there's people out there that can do that now. Because we know we're not only there's the talent, but there's the people that drive it as well. There's management and there's directors and there's producers.
Do we have enough of our own mob doing that? Because generally, like back in those early days in the 80s, 90s, our mob had to go to the white experts or the white managers.
Yeah, look, they still do. They still do. And I think we're starting to build the amount of producers. That's starting to build now.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. And I think it's about putting it out there too, you know, like I said about the studio and me encouraging and holding workshops.
Yeah, open
you
the
know,
doors.
We have to we have to support that and build it. So yep. I think once that happens, but you know, there's new talent in terms of management and directing now. So it's
very good.
It's really growing.
Yeah, no, that's very good.
Yeah.
Well, my brother, I better let you go. Get back into that studio and keep on composing. Look, I really appreciate you joining us today and telling us a little bit about your role in the Corroboree Club.
Thank you, my brother. It's so good to talk to you and you know, and to share it with everybody.
For sure.
Yeah, and let's do it again. Hey,
Well, next time you're in town, you better let me know. We'll come in and see you.
I will. I want to come in there.
Yeah.
So if I move back to Brisbane, you have to give me a job.
No worries, bud. We'll find something. I've got a desk and a chair here for you. I don't know about a pay, but, you know, there's somewhere where we can park,
right.
Yeah?
I'm used to having that money.
Won't take long to just start generating some money, but we'll find something here for you. Don't you worry.
My father's saying, you don't need money. I reckon, really?
We'll find something for you, my brother. You let us know when you're ready.
Okay then, mate.
You have a good day now and hope it all goes well with the Corroboree Club.
And just say, the Corroboree Festival, if people want to know about it, if they're in town in Sydney around November, from the 15th to the 24th, just go online. There's a website there.
Fair enough.
It's called Sydney Corroboree Festival.
Very good. Righto, bud. You take it easy.
All right then, mate.
Have a good day.
You too.
Yeah,
see
bye.
Ya.
David Page joining me there. And, what a very talented young man. And the best show, I think undoubtedly the best show I've ever seen, is his show, Page 8. It must have been close on 10 years ago I saw it, but by gee. It was very well produced and just fantastic. That's David. And don't forget about that festival. It's Corroboree Sydney. 10 days or 11 days of it or something. It's just unbelievable. And it's a great mixture of music, of performances, of culture, black films, a range of things. And our own Stephen Oliver is down there as well, being invited down and for a performance. Make sure you join us tomorrow for Let's Talk. You have a great day.